And we return this evening to Paul's letter to Pastor Titus. We're going to be reading Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Our sermon this evening will zero in on the first three verses of that particular section. And you'll remember that, just by way of setting the scene, Pastor Titus is building the church in the corrupt and decadent society of first century Crete. How's that task to be accomplished? Well, right at the very center of that church building project is the ministry of God's Word. And last Lord's Day afternoon, we heard Paul tell Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. God's Word is to be authoritatively declared. And Paul adds, let no one disregard you, let no one dismiss that ministry. In other words, the ministry of God's Word preached is a ministry that is relevant to all. Chapter 3 goes on to elaborate on what it is that Titus is to preach. And so we enter into Titus chapter 3 this evening. Titus 3, beginning at verse 1, listen, here's the word of our God. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these resounding declarations that went forth in first century Crete and that go forth in 21st century America. We thank You for salvation and for the hope of eternal life. We thank You for the work of the Lord Jesus, a work redeeming sinners, not because of righteous deeds that we have performed, but on account of the saving mercy of our God. And we pray that this evening our hearts would delight afresh as we reflect on the saving mercy that has been extended to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes we just need to be reminded. It's not that we need new teaching. It's not that we need new instruction. It's not that we need some new insight. We simply need to be reminded of things that we have already been taught and that we have already learned. So much of Christian counseling is reminding people of things that they already know. And that's a role that we fill as friends to one another, as brothers and sisters in a community, congregation of God's church, when we remind one another of things that we already know, truths that we need to hold on to. This evening, Paul urges Titus to be that friend to the congregation in Crete. Paul says, remind them. Those are the opening words of Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them. Remind them of certain things. And of course, that reminder is vitally important. We heard Moses urge the people of Israel about to go into the land of promise on how they were to conduct themselves. And of course, we know that the checkered subsequent history of God's people in the promised land was a history that was marked by periods of forgetfulness, episodes of amnesia, when the people forgot things that they had already been taught. Psalm 78, in which in verse 11, the psalmist says, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. They forgot what they already knew about God. And of course, this evening we gather around the table of the Lord Jesus, which, among other things, is a reminder to us of the great things that God has done for us, the saving wonders that our God has wrought on our behalf. And Jesus says to us, do this in remembrance of me. Do not forget. And tonight, Titus is reminded of two things that Christians need to keep in mind, two things that he is to be urging on the congregations in Crete. And if we're to summarize those two things in verses 1 through 3, Paul is telling Titus to remind the Christians, don't forget who you are. That's verses 1 and 2. Don't forget who you are. And in verse 3, Paul, as it were, urges Titus to remind the congregation not to forget who you were. Two important things that the congregation in Crete is to keep in mind, because as they keep those things in mind, they will be inevitably drawn to what Paul is going to instruct Titus to go on to preach about, and that is the saving work of the Lord Jesus, the grace and loving kindness of our God that has appeared. Now, first of all, verses 1 and 2, Paul tells Titus to remind the Christians in Crete of who they are. Don't forget who you are. And in verses 1 and 2, it's as if Paul is telling Titus to tell the Christians in Crete, mind your manners. When you are out and about, mind your manners. Remember how you're to behave. It's the kind of instruction, boys and girls, that mommy or daddy might give to us. We're going off somewhere, maybe with mommy and daddy, maybe on our own, and we are reminded, mind your manners. Remember how to behave. And Paul goes on in verses 1 and 2 then, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Mind your manners. Don't forget who you are. Who are you? You are, as we were reminded in our call to worship, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession. You are a people who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus. That is a precious and cherished identity. And one that is an identity that is reinforced. We're reminded of it as we gather at the table of the Lord Jesus. We are reminded that we have been purchased by the blood of our Savior. And as we gather at the table of the Lord Jesus, we're reminded that we need to mind our manners, because the culture of God's people, the culture of Jesus' kingdom, is one that's radically different from the culture in which we as Christians are immersed. And you remember the first century context that Paul has already drawn attention to back in chapter 1, verse 12. Cretans are always liars, they're evil beasts, they're lazy gluttons. Christians are not like that. And Paul says, Titus, remind them of who they are. They no longer have a Cretan identity. Yes, indeed, they may be natives of Crete, but they are the blood-bought citizens of Jesus' kingdom. They are the prized possession of God. Remind them of that. Remind them that their manners, their behavior, will be different from the behavior of those around us. And oh yes, Paul quotes that rather caustic description of the Cretans that came, you remember, from someone who was himself a Cretan. And that's not even to describe all of their negative character traits. The people of Crete have been under Roman rule for about 100 years by the time Paul is writing to Titus, and the people of Crete chafed under Roman rule. John Stott summarizes the testimony of antiquity when he says the Cretans were constantly involved in insurrection, murders, and internecine wars. They lived in a society that was fractured and broken and polarized, not unlike our own society, a society in which we may well imagine tempers flaring, things getting heated, violent behaviors. Paul says, remind the people in your congregation that their manners, their behavior is to be different from that. The Lord's table serves, among other things, to remind us who we are. It establishes and defines our identity as the people of God. Our Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 27, paragraph 1, says the sacraments put a visible difference between those that belong to the church and the rest of the world. Why do we fence the table? Why do we make clear that this table is for those who have confessed their faith publicly, who are walking in faith and repentance in fellowship with the Lord Jesus? As we gather around this table, the table makes a difference, establishes a boundary between those who are the Lord's and those who belong to this world. The table reminds us of who we are. And you'll remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, because we are all partakers of the one bread. We are the people of God united in the Lord Jesus. Paul says, Titus, remind those Christians of their manners. And were we to start at the end of verse 2 and kind of work backwards to verse 1, it's as if Paul is describing widening circles. Show perfect courtesy to all. That's the manner that God's people are to conduct themselves. Show perfect courtesy to all. We are one body, united in the Lord Jesus. Don't speak disrespectfully of any. Not just don't speak disrespectfully to some people. Don't just speak disrespectfully to people. Don't speak disrespectfully of any. We're reminded that the culture of Jesus' church is a culture of respect, in which we don't speak disrespectfully of any. We gather around the table of the Lord Jesus, and as we do so, we are reminded that our speech is constrained by God's law and God's Spirit, so that our words are edifying words. Be ready to serve. Those Cretans who were lazy and indolent and had a reputation for being idle, the people of God conduct themselves differently. The people of God are eager to serve because we have a Savior who came into this world not as a monarch, but as a slave, as a servant. Respect authority. You can sense Paul widening the circle, perfect courtesy that's to be shown to all, and then as he lets his mind think further afield, we're to have respect for, not to be insubordinate like those in Cretan culture. Paul says, Titus, remind them of who they are. And Paul also in verse 3, as it were, tells Titus that he's not to let the members of his congregation forget who they were. Well, yes, Christians are not in a position to look down on their fellow islanders on Crete. Why are they not able to look down on those fellow dwellers on Crete? Well, says Paul, verse 3, we ourselves were once foolish and disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Paul says, and he groups himself together with the Cretans. So he's describing patterns of behavior that are not unique to the island of Crete. And Paul says, here are some disgraceful and shameful behavior patterns. We were passing our days in malice and envy. We were hated by others and hating one another. And you can almost imagine Paul saying, what was I thinking? Have you ever had that experience? You look back on something you did or something you said, and you think, what in the world was I doing? What was I thinking? And it's good for us. It's good for us to remember what we have been redeemed from. Paul tells the Roman Christians in Romans 6, verse 21, what fruit, what harvest were you getting from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. Paul says, think back, you Roman Christians, to the things that you used to do. What benefit were those things to you? The end of those things was disaster and death. Or as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, you were redeemed, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not by corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. The Lord's table is a reminder to us of what we have been redeemed from. It's a reminder of the shameful acts, the shameful behaviors, the shameful attitudes that Jesus has died to cover with his blood. Oh yes, the devil comes to shame us by reminding us of the things that we have done in the wrong kind of way. It's at that point we remember the words that we used in our service this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, Christ who lives in me. I am a new creation. That was how I was then, but now I'm a new creature. Now I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. And as we think back, yes, we remember that that was then. This is now. It's good for us to be able to do that. The devil wants to hold us in bondage to what was in the past. We've been set free from that. The Lord Jesus came into this world to set free those who were imprisoned. And Paul's language in verse 3 highlights the direness of the helplessness of the condition of these Christians. He says, we were foolish. This is not very flattering language that Paul's using. We were foolish. The idea is morally, we were dim-witted. We didn't have a clear sense of right and wrong. We were brutish. Remember the characterization of the Cretans. They are evil brutes. Paul says, yeah, we were like that too. We were foolish. We were brutish. We didn't behave. We were enslaved. We were enslaved. That's the helplessness of our former condition. And of course, as Paul describes what we are now and what we were, it begs the question, how did that change come about? And of course, Paul is preparing Titus for the next point in his sermon, verses 4 and 5. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. It's God who intervened in the person of the Lord Jesus to bring about the transformation from what we were to what we are. And so, to paraphrase the familiar hymn of Edward Perronet, we are the sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall who spread their trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been redeemed from futile ways. We thank you that we've been liberated from our bondage to sin. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we are a new creation. We praise you for the liberating power of Jesus our Savior. And we ask that we might live the lives of those who have been transformed by grace. and that we might live in this world as those who are constantly mindful that we are the people of God, a precious, blood-bought, and treasured possession of God our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.